Not too long ago, I was asked to review some curriculum, and in the process of doing that, listening to what was being taught and following along in the printed material, there was a young lady that taught for maybe 10 minutes in one of the classes, and I do not remember her name, but as she began to speak, and I'm listening to this, something on the inside of me began pointing to it. Now, figuratively speaking, okay? In that my attention was drawn to what she was saying, and I could tell that what she was saying, I could tell that she had been with the Lord, that she had heard from God. And so what I did was rewind a little bit and started listening again and started, you know, typing on the computer. And a lot of what I typed out were the words that she said, because I really believe that some of what she was sharing, it was God speaking. They were God's words, not her interpretation of what God said. In other words, God can give you a sermon and then you preach the sermon, but sometimes God speaks through you. And you can call it a word from the Lord or a prophecy, I mean, whatever you want to call it. And I really believe that some of what she was saying, she may not even recognize it, but I do believe that some of what she said, that it was, you know, a word from God. And so I kept typing and kept typing, and as I did, you know, I'm praying and following along. And, well, actually, there wasn't a whole lot of scripture to follow along based on what she was saying. But as I was praying, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit began stepping in, and as she was speaking, He began speaking as well. So I just kept typing, and by the time I was done, I mean, I knew I was supposed to share this. By the time I was done, you know, I looked at all of it, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to print it out, and I'm just going to go with it like this. I just, you know, I don't normally, I wouldn't say this is a typing out of a sermon, but I don't normally do it like that. But I thought, you know, there it is right in front of me, so print. just use it. I'm going to read some words to you. I want you to listen closely to these words. Fear, anger, doubt, confusion, worry, depression, boredom, wrath, indignation, oppression, desperation, hatred, discontent. Now, what are those words? A description of my life, Brother Martin. Could we use the word emotion or emotions to kind of be an umbrella over all of those words? Fear, anger, doubt, confusion, worry, depression, boredom, wrath, indignation, oppression, desperation, hatred, discontent. Now, with those words in mind, and hopefully not in heart, I want you to open to Psalm 63, and let's look at something else. Let's just say on one side of the scale we have all of those words. And starting here in Psalm 63, take a look at verse 5. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So do we see here in this verse, my soul shall be satisfied, a contrast to, let's just say, boredom? Can we see a contrast or an opposite to boredom? Because if your soul is satisfied, are you going to be bored? Well, let's look at others. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So we're satisfied, now we're happy. Let's look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse, let's see here, 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, look at this, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's a whole lot of emotions in there, is there not? Now look over in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And look in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Take a look in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay, now, what do we have here? Well, we started off with this list of feelings, of emotions. Fear, anger, doubt, confusion, worry, depression, boredom, wrath, indignation, oppression, depression, desperation, hatred, discontent. And then we go over and we start looking in Scripture, and what do we see? We see a whole different set of emotions, do we not? In fact, what we see in Scripture is a revelation of everything that is opposite of the confusion, of the depression, of the discontent, of the boredom, of the fear, of the anger. We see a whole list of things that are completely opposite. And all of those things that we see in Scripture that are completely opposite, what is the one factor, call it the unifying factor in all of them? They all have a point of origin with God. All of them. In other words, when it comes to emotions, the emotions that, how can I say, radiate from God are those emotions that we've just seen in Scripture. And in those emotions that we've seen revealed in Scripture, there's no fear and there's no anger and there's no doubt. There is no oppression, there is no depression, there is no discontent, there is no boredom. None of that exists. So what we have then are two different kinds of emotions. One which come from what we could say is a corrupt way of thinking, because God's not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So we have a set of emotions that come from a corrupted way of thinking, but then we also have a set of emotions that come from where? Our new nature. Who we are in Christ. Put it another way, when it comes to those of us who are born again, the only true emotions that we should feel are those which are produced by our new nature. Let me say it differently. The new nature absolutely cannot produce depression. The new nature cannot produce fear. Now, we're not talking about the holy fear of God, okay? You guys know what I'm talking about. The new nature cannot produce boredom. It cannot produce discontent. It cannot produce oppression. It can't produce hatred. It can't produce desperation or any of these other things that we mentioned. The new nature cannot produce those things. But what happens is, and we all know this to be true. In fact, you know, as I'm going through that list of, let's call them flesh emotions. As I was going through that list of flesh emotions, there's a really good chance that there are people listening to this right now who are struggling with some of those emotions. You know, you go to the doctor examines, and the doctor comes back with a report, and immediately, you ever heard the term gripped with fear? I was gripped with fear. Okay, why? Well, because the doctor said, yes, that's true. But why were you gripped with fear? Because if that emotion cannot come out of your born-again spirit, then it's come from someplace else. It's originating from a thought process, a way of thinking that's been produced, really, by the sin nature and also by the way this world operates. And so here we are in the body of Christ. We go through the gamut of emotions, do we not? And every one of us, since we've been born again, have probably gone through periods of fear or depression or anger or any of these other things, the discontent, whatever it would be. We've gone through that. However, when we come to the place of understanding that our new nature cannot produce those emotions, it's going to help us to understand why we are having those emotions. See, here's part of the problem. In the body of Christ, now think if this is not true. It's not taught this way, but it is implied that it is normal to go through all of those other emotions. Discontent. No. Now, we're not talking about the difference between going to an amusement park and getting sent to the principal's office, okay? What I'm saying is, we're essentially taught that it is okay for Christians to go through things like this. It's okay, you know, we all go through periods of depression. Why? Well, because, Brother Martin, I mean, that's just the way it is. Okay, but why? Because, Brother Martin, we live in a stinko world. Yes, but why do we go through periods of depression? Because that's just normal. It's the way people are. I see. If I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and I examine his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do I see periods of depression? No. Do I see times of discontent where he sits around with the apostles and says, I can't take this anymore? No. How many of you see what I'm getting at? But in the religious world, the body of Christ, we've actually been trained to accept these other emotions as being normal for a Christian. And yet when you go through Scripture, you cannot find God describing a person who is fully trusting in Him as going through all of those emotions or struggling with those emotions. You can't find it. Now, you know, as I'm thinking about all of this, I have to admit, this is highly contrary to what seems to be very popular in the body of Christ. We want to have our times of depression or anger or fear. You ever heard somebody say, leave me alone, I just want to feel like this for a while. Now, I'm not looking at anyone here in particular or variation on that theme. Our new nature doesn't have the capacity to produce those emotions. You say, well, how do you figure that? Okay, who gave you your new nature? God. Now, if God is the one who is the source of your born-again life, and you can't find in Scripture a depressed God, then how can He give you something that will produce depression? You see what I mean? How can He... If you can't find in Scripture a God who is afraid, then how can He give you something that will produce fear? If you can't find in Scripture a God who is bored, how can He give you something that will produce boredom? If you can't find in Scripture a God who is discontent, then how can He give you something that will produce that discontent? Remember what happened when He brought Adam into existence and He breathed life into Adam. The life that Adam had was the only life that God had available to give, and that was His own. That means everything about God's life, which would include God's emotions, were passed on to Adam. Now, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God, if you will, breathes life into us. And spiritually, we become alive. And spiritually, we have His life. And spiritually, the only emotions we have are His. The ones that I read in Scripture. Now, there are others that we could read. Other passages that we could see about the joy and about the happy and about being content and so on and so forth. The peace. All of this. So when we go through Scripture, what we see, as far as emotions are concerned, is a whole different revelation than what has really been passed on to the body of Christ and what we have come to accept in ourselves and other people. These flesh emotions, they're real. I mean, there's no denying that. They actually do exist. But the thing is, these emotions, quite frankly, they're coming out of an area of the mind. Look over Romans chapter 12. They're coming out of an area of the mind that essentially has been untrained. Look here in Romans chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I have to go, I'm born again, but I have to go through a transformation of my mind. Where does depression exist? Let's think for a minute. Does it exist in your born-again spirit or in your mind? Where does discontent exist? Does it exist in your born-again spirit or in your mind? Where does fear exist? Born-again spirit or your mind? Boredom. Born-again spirit or your mind? How is it possible for your born-again spirit to become bored with Jesus Christ? And these are things that a lot of people don't think about in the body of Christ. Instead, what we do is accommodate the negative or the flesh emotions. The thing is, when you begin to train your spirit to seek a deeper relationship with the Lord, what you're actually doing is allowing your new nature to govern your life. And what happens is, as the new nature is governing your life, the emotions of the new nature begin to dominate your lifestyle. And the emotions of the new nature begin to override the flesh emotions that have been living in your mind for so many years and really have governed so much of what we do. Look over in Romans chapter 2. When you, as Christians, when we struggle with these flesh emotions, the reason is because we have focused more on types of actions rather than who we are in Christ. Think about it. If you focus more on who you are in Christ, your focus is not going to be on the feelings of those emotions, but it's going to be on who God says you are relative to God's word. When you take Christians, and I'll show you how this works. It's a setup. When you take Christians and you begin training their mind with a lot of rules and regulations, a lot of do's and don'ts, what you're actually doing is setting them up for absolute failure. Because in their mind, they are consciously aware of everything they are supposed to do and everything they are not supposed to do. So in their mind, they're thinking about the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the regulations. Then when they mess up, what happens? I have failed God. The depression, the oppression, the feelings of self-condemnation, all that stuff begins to operate in a person's life. How many Christians have you talked to? Maybe you have felt this way. I just can't do it. I just can't be everything God wants me to be. Where'd that come from? So let's add in the emotion of exasperation. You begin to feel exasperated because you can't do it. At least that's what you're feeling, right? I just can't do this. Yet the Bible says we are complete in Jesus Christ. So therefore, out of that completeness, we can do it. The thing is, we just haven't figured out how. And what's happening is, our lives are being governed by the flesh emotions than by the new nature emotions. Because when the new nature emotions begin to govern our life, we begin to understand, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And how many times have people quoted that verse, but on the inside, they're saying, there ain't no way. But we got to look good, right? That's right, Brother Martin. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Then all the way home, there ain't no way. I can't, there ain't no way. I'm a failure. When you make that declaration over yourself, it's a feeling of depression, exasperation, oppression, discontent, and everything else. Because you're calling yourself a failure. That's how you feel. So when you start training a person's mind with a bunch of rules and regulations, you're setting them up for failure. And this is one of the reasons why so many Christians go through all of this. It's because they've been trained in their mind about what they're not supposed to do and what they are supposed to do, instead of being trained in their spirit to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you begin training a person in the area of their spirit, or teaching them how to train their spirit to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, what happens is that those flesh emotions begin to yield to the power of that life in you, the life of Christ in you. And there is a change, a transition that begins to take place. This is not about what you like and what you don't like, okay? This isn't about likes and dislikes. It's about the kind of emotions that kick in relative to what you like and don't like. That's what this is about. You think Jesus liked it when they were driving nails in his hands? Yet what did he do? Father, forgive them. For they know what they do. They know not what they do. You see what I mean? In spite of the nails in his hands and his feet, the spear in his side, the crown of thorns on his head, his whipped, beaten body, the emotions of the flesh that would say, you're going to pay for this. Instead of that, the emotions of his spirit said, I'm going to pay for this. Father, forgive them. The last thing I do with this life and nature that you've given to me, I say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit to receive that sin nature that put me on this cross. And I choose now to die under that. Think about it. Even in the worst situation of any human life in all of eternity, Jesus was still being governed by the emotions of the new nature, as opposed to flesh emotions that seek vengeance. Now, for us, you can absolutely dislike something, but you can still be governed by the emotions of the new nature. You can absolutely not enjoy a situation, not appreciate a situation, but you can still be governed by the emotions of your new nature, of who you are in Christ. This is not about living in a fantasy world where all is perfect. It's about living in an imperfect world without yielding to imperfect emotions. And that's the key, because so many Christians, when they're struggling with these things, I can't tell you how many times Christians have shared with me over the years, you know, oh, Pastor, I just don't know what's going on. I just can't, and I can't, and it's just not, and I just, and you know, your heart goes out to them. But what is it? It's all emotions. And those, it's not coming from their born-again spirit. Here's what's interesting. Flesh emotions can rage with power, or they can be very subtle. Let me give you an example. You take a guy, let's say you got somebody that he lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's going to a church, and this church is teaching people how to train their spirits to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And he attends, he's there, you know, whenever the doors are open, basically he attends. And after 3 years, he all of a sudden leaves and goes to a church in Flagstaff. And the thing is, the church that he's now attending in Flagstaff, even though, yeah, they teach you must be born again, and even though, yes, it's what you'd call a spirit-filled church, they do not teach how to have a deeper walk with Jesus Christ, how to train your spirit to conform to the image of Christ. They don't teach these things. And yet, he goes to that church. Now, why? Why would somebody make that kind of a decision? Why would they do that? Well, what's happened is, it's really one of two things. One, that person either was not diligently applying what was being taught, or flesh emotions began to rise up, producing a channel of thoughts which resulted in a course of action. You say, well, couldn't God have taken them out over to that other church? And yeah, like God's going to change everything from the bottom up. Show me one church where that's happened. The change always comes from the top down. And God is not going to send somebody into a church to split that church. Trust me. And there are a lot of Christians that say, well, God sent me to this church to help them. Help them do what? Let me get this right. The pastor called you and asked you to come to their church to help them grow into what God wants them to be. That's what happened? Well, no. Then how do you know you're supposed to go there? Well, God sent me. Does the pastor know you're coming? Well, he will when I get there. Hallelujah. Ah, I hear a split. Now, here's what's interesting. When a decision is made for a course of action, it will always be justified in some way. Usually by saying, I mean, this kind of a thing that we're talking about, by saying, the Lord said, or the Lord is leading me. And instead of confronting those emotions to figure out what's really going on, the person appeases them by yielding to them and giving in to the action those emotions are demanding. And when this happens, the flesh emotions will subside and the person falsely believes they now have God's peace. Well, obviously, if you're feeling better, it has to be God, right? But now listen to this. In reality, all they've done is step into the eye of the storm. And as long as they remain in that place of false peace, they believe they are in God's will. But the moment, now hear this, the moment the storm shifts direction, those emotions again bombard their minds. This leads to another course of action to appease those emotions. And this is, now see if this rings a bell. This is why some Christians seem so unsettled and unstable in their lives, and why in some cases God keeps changing his mind about what they're supposed to do. You ever known Christians like that? You know, one day God told them this, and the next day God told them that. One week God told them to go to this church, the next month God told them to go to another church. One week God told them to listen to this preacher, the next week God told them to listen to that preacher, and they're both preaching stuff that doesn't agree with the Word. This is exactly why you have so many Christians that are like this. It's because when they give in to those emotions and the pressure of those emotions, whatever emotion it is, it doesn't matter. If it's not coming from the new nature, it's one of those flesh emotions. And so that emotion begins to hammer, begins to bombard, and they have discomfort in their lives because of that emotion. Well, they don't want discomfort, they want comfort. So what do? What is this emotion driving me toward? Aha, leaving church. Okay. Must be God, because now that I make the decision to follow the direction of that emotion, I feel better. And you can write it down. It's just going to be a matter of time before that storm shifts direction a little bit, and they're no longer going to be in the eye, but they're going to feel the turbulence. And they're going to have to make another decision to appease the new set of emotions that have risen up in their lives. Now, a variation of this is what we sometimes call an impasse. A person diligently prays in tongues for a period of time, and then, like either suddenly, like almost overnight, or over a period of a few days, they begin feeling a lot of emotions. And they just get just all worked up. And they say they don't know what's going on. Well, it's out of those emotions they begin to act emotional. And people start wondering what's wrong with them. And this is why some Christians will tell you that praying in tongues will make you weird. Now listen. The truth is, when the weirdness of the flesh emotions begin to surface, you're getting closer to being genuinely normal. You say, I feel better about myself already, Brother Martin. Let me say that again. When the weirdness, now we're not talking, you're praying in tongues, you hit this impasse, the emotions, you want to claw people's eyes out. When the weirdness of the flesh emotions begin to surface, you're getting closer to being genuinely normal. You say, well, how in the world do you figure that? Because you're getting closer to dumping something out of your life that doesn't need to be there, that's interfering with your relationship with Jesus. When this happens, or what's happened, what has happened is this. That person's prayed in the Spirit to the point to where they have, it's like they've exposed an open nerve of flesh emotions. Something that has been in there, buried for a long time, that they didn't realize was there. And through praying in tongues, this thing has become It's like they're now aware of this, like they hadn't been. That open nerve and those flesh emotions have governed that person's life for many years in one way or another. And the thing is, they haven't known it. They have not identified it. Well, if at this particular point, because the Holy Spirit's been able to bring this to the open and show this to you, if that person will just continue to pray in the Spirit, eventually what's going to happen is that nerve and its root are going to be removed out of that person's life. And right along with this, fasting will help bring these things to the surface. And if you quit, then all you're doing is taking the shovel of dirt and covering over the very thing that you uncovered that needs to be removed. And while here's what's so kind of unique in this. The flesh emotions can at times, to you and to other people around you, seem justified. I mean, have you ever been around Christians where they're talking about something bad that happened to them and boy, they're feeling, whatever it is they're feeling, and then some other Christian comes along and, puts their arm around them and tries to console them, and it's like they're saying, well, look, it's normal to feel like that. You with me? It's normal to feel like, no, it's not. It's normal to want revenge. You ever heard that? Christians telling other Christians. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So what happens is you have Christians reinforce emotions that are not coming out of the born-again spirit, and it continually compounds the problem. And so we have an entire body of Christ, so many members of the body of Christ would hear a message like that and think, that guy's crazy. Because everybody knows it's natural to have these feelings. But according to what we've seen in Scripture, it is unnatural for a Christian to have those feelings. It's not unheard of, but it's unnatural. You say, why do you say it's unnatural? Because if you're born again, you have a new nature. And those emotions are not natural to that nature. See what I'm saying? Now, look over in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to show you something. The flesh emotions absolutely, and at times severely, will cloud sound spiritual judgment. It's all the time. Absolutely, it will. These emotions that are not birthed out of your born-again spirit will always cloud your sound spiritual judgment and sometimes severely cloud it. I mean, how many times have you been around Christians to where they're going through one of those times in life, the emotions are raging, the non-born-again spirit emotions are raging, and they start making decisions that even you know are the wrong decisions. That even you can, you don't even have to spend a whole lot of time in prayer. You know what they're doing is wrong. But to them, it makes all the sense in the world. And they may sometimes tell you, well, yeah, but God spoke to me. No, he didn't. Well, God said, no, he didn't. But they're so convinced because right now, they're in that eye of the storm. See? And not only that, but these flesh emotions will always and without question interfere with your ability to hear God's voice. Always. I'm going to give you an example right here in 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at verse 11. God's speaking to Elijah and he says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So what are you seeing in here? In verse 11, the strong wind, the earthquake, in verse 12, the fire. Can you see how these are all describing emotions? You ever heard somebody talk about, you know, just, boy, it makes me so mad, it just burns me up. Huh? There's your fire. You ever felt like everything in your life is being tossed and torn and just, there's your wind, there's your earthquake. And as long as you're yielding over to the wind, earthquake, and fire of emotions of the flesh, you are not going to clearly hear the still small voice of God. This is why sometimes when you're talking to another Christian who's going through some of these periods of emotional upheaval, and it's like no matter what you say to them, it just doesn't sink in. You could read the whole Bible to them, and not one word is going to penetrate. And it's like they're in their own world. Well, they are. They're in that eye of the storm. And what is irrational to the born-again spirit now has become rational to their way of thinking. There's a huge difference between appeasing the flesh emotions to ease the mind and living in spiritual peace. Huge emotion. A person living by the emotions of the new nature can walk through a storm and not get off track. You don't have to wait for the eye of the storm. You can walk through the middle of the thing. You can walk right. It can hang around. And yet, when you're governed by the emotions of the new nature, you're not going to get off track. Now, praying in tongues and fasting will absolutely enable a person to expose and dig out the roots of those flesh emotions. Absolutely. At the same time, worship, it's like it opens a door of your spirit to release the emotions of God. Those things that we were reading about, the peace that passes all understanding, the content, all of those things that we read about in Scripture, the joy, worship, it opens a door in your heart for what is in there by virtue of you having the life of God to start to come out. So as you're praying in the Spirit, as you're fasting, what you're actually doing is dealing with those emotions that have been governing your life. See, here's the thing. Those emotions that we talked about, those flesh emotions, they can govern your life and you not even realize it. Because you become so trained in your mind to respond to what seems to make sense and will what make you feel good when the pressure gets released. So you've trained yourself to respond in that way. But on the other hand, from God's perspective, He's saying, listen, okay, remember what Jesus said? In this world, you'll have tribulation, but in me, you're going to have what? Peace. You're going to have situations in your life, you may be going through them right now, which dictate flesh emotions. But when you're living in accordance with who you become in Christ, and those, quote, emotions of the new nature are governing your actions, you're not going to get out of God's will. And your actions are going to line up with the actions that He would give, or He would, what He would do if He were here. The combination of praying in tongues and fasting and worship will bring into subjection the flesh emotions and their impact on your mind. You ever felt like, I just can't think straight? Ever been there? Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I can't take it anymore. Don't want to hear anymore. Just leave me alone. I can't think straight. You're confusing me. Wait a minute. I'm just standing here looking at you. Making funny faces at you. How is that confusing you? See what I mean? Hey, come on, think with me for a minute. Read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Do you not think that there were times where Jesus could have given into the flesh emotions and said, all you people, just go home. I just want some time to myself. I'm tired of all your sick kids and their runny noses. I'm tired of all your complaining. I'm tired of you hypocrites. All your stuff, it's just, I can't take it anymore. I'll guarantee you there were times in Jesus' life where he could have done that. And I'll guarantee you there were times in his life where the flesh emotions knocked on the door and said, would you mind if we ruled for a little bit? And he responds by saying, I didn't come to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Therefore, I cannot give in to you, and you will not rule and reign in my life. I will operate by the peace of God and be content. See what I mean? I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And what I'm going to do, first off, what I want to emphasize is this. These emotions, if you have never spent much time praying in the Spirit, or fasting, or worshiping, or any combination thereof, if you've never done much of any of that at all, I'm telling you right now, I'm guaranteeing you, write it down. Some way, somehow in your life, flesh emotions are controlling you. Oh, no, they're not. Yeah, they are. Somehow they're controlling you, and they're controlling the decisions that you're making in life. Remember I said they can rage in power, or they can be very subtle. Because if you have not learned how to live according to who you become in Christ, that new nature on the inside, all those verses that we read about those kind of emotions, about the God kind of emotions, if the God kind of emotions aren't operating in your life on a continual basis, then you now have identified that the flesh emotions are controlling in some way, shape, or form. Prayer, praying in the Spirit, and fasting are really going to expose these things. And you eventually, I'm telling you right now, if you do it long enough, even if you don't fast, if you just pray in the Spirit long enough, if you just keep doing this, sooner or later you are going to come to the place to where you're going to unearth on the inside of you a place of those emotions that you didn't think were there. And the tendency is going to be to blame everybody else in your life and to blame me, because now I'm off in heresy and everything else, instead of sitting back and asking yourself, now why am I feeling like this? What has changed in my life so dramatically that would cause me to feel this way? Hey, I had to learn this myself. Going through those times, it's like, oh, Roger, is there anybody around I could hit that's not bigger than me? And finally, one day, it's like something clicked. And I know as a result of spending time with the Lord. And I said, okay, well, hold on here. Why am I feeling this way? What's going on here? Why does this happen? What's changed? Nothing. What's Kathy done? Nothing. Why am I feeling like this? This isn't right. And so I'd keep praying and I'd start worshiping. And it turns it around. Because whatever that stuff is that the Holy Spirit's working to expose to you, whatever those emotions are, whether Christians that are always hopping from one thing to another, that never seem content in life, even though they seem happy, the flesh emotions are governing their actions. Discontent. Paul said, I've learned, it doesn't matter what condition I'm in, I've learned to be content. I don't have to have a new boat. I don't have to have a new car. I don't have to have a new TV. I don't have to have a new chariot. I don't have to have a new horse to pull my chariot. I don't have to have a new robe. I don't have to have new sandals. I don't have to have, I don't have to have, I don't have to move to a new house. I don't have to go here, do that. Some people, Christians, who say the only way that they can get relief is to go on vacation. Guess what? The flesh emotions are governing your life and you don't even realize it. Because you should be able to walk in relief, whether you're on the beach in Waikiki or bailing water out of your flooded basement. That's a little too far there, Brother Martin. I don't know about it. Remember, we're not talking about what you like or what you dislike. What we're talking about are the emotions that come about as a result of what you like and what you dislike. See? And this is why this whole thing of these kinds of emotions can be so subtle. We're not talking about turning into robots. What we're talking about, really, you know what we're talking about? Conforming to the image of Jesus. That's what it is. Walking in that peace, walking in that joy, being content, etc. and so forth. All the things that we read in God's Word. Now, here in Galatians, if you'll give yourself over to prayer, pray in the Spirit, throw in some fasting, the worship, and then add in the Word, confession, reading, meditating in the Word, the transformation is going to take place. The change, it's going to happen, and it's going to be a process, and at times it's going to be a battle, but I'm telling you, you can win this thing. And here's what's unique. At this point in your life, and I'm just making an assumption here about everybody listening, at this point in our lives, we do not know how much the flesh emotions are governing our lives. So by faith, we start praying, we start fasting, the worship, getting into the Word, and the change begins to take place. As the change begins to take place, we begin to realize how much of our new nature had been suppressed by these flesh emotions, and we thought everything was okay. And then as the change begins to take place, begins to transpire, we begin to understand how much more freedom we're living in. Now, what we're going to do here in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 16, and I'm going to give you a paraphrase that is not the perfect interpretation, but it is relative to this message. And this paraphrase, for the most part, came from what I heard as this lady was sharing in this teaching. So we're going to start in verse 16. I'm not going to read the verse. I'm going to just read the paraphrases, and we're going to go verse 16 through 25. This I say then, live in the reality of who you are in Christ, being governed by the emotions of the new nature, and you will not fulfill the emotions of the flesh that long for things which are contrary to the new nature. For the untrained mind, with all of its emotions, fixes itself against the emotions of the new nature, and the emotions of the new nature against the emotions of the mind. And these emotions oppose one another, so that this civil war within results in you not doing the things you would do if the new nature ruled completely, with the mind being in subjection. But if you be led by the emotions of the new nature, you are not subject to the law of the mind with its emotions that are trained under the old nature. Now the flesh emotions will produce the works of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the such I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which continually live their lives governed by the flesh emotions shall not inherit the kingdom of God or operate in the dominion of God. But the emotions of the new nature can only produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ's nature have the power to extinguish and subdue the flesh emotions and their accompanying lusts and affections, which will eventually produce actions contrary to the new nature. If we have been made alive by the new nature, let us live in the fullness and dominion of that nature and experiencing only those emotions which are produced by that nature. Kind of gives a whole new interesting perspective to that passage, doesn't it? And in this study, like I said, when this young lady was speaking and doing this teaching, and it was only 5 or 10 minutes, it wasn't very long, but it was like, boy, God got a hold of it and began showing me some things. And this has answered a lot of questions for me as to why so many Christians act the way they do. It's because there's more going on the inside than what they realize. Well, here in God's Word, we have the answers. And the thing is, What's really sad, I think, one of the most sad things in all of this, are Christians that I have encountered over the years that don't want to change. It's like they expect and demand that you accept them and tolerate and accommodate all of the emotional displays that they put forth without questioning. Well, I have to tell you, and I'm not going to belabor this, but if you're living by the flesh emotions, you're not in fellowship with God. I'm not saying you lost your salvation. I'm saying you're not in fellowship with Him. Because I'm telling you right now, you are not going to walk into His presence and boss Him around with those kind of emotions. And many Christians, that's exactly what they try to do. They try to lord it over others. Have you ever been around Christians to where you feel like you're walking on eggshells? You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't work with God. Now, He loves you. I mean, He loves you eternally, and you're not going to change that. But there's a better way to live here. And because there have been times where I've wondered, how could a guy like Paul go through all he went through and write the things he wrote? How could Jesus put up with something? Yeah, I mean, every now and then, that righteous anger, you hypocrites, you're leading these people astray. You've made my father's house a den of thieves, okay? But you look at all the things that Jesus went through, and I have to tell you, there are times where I'm thinking, boy, he was cool, was he not? I mean, he had it all together. And it's almost like he stands up and says, yeah, and I'm the pattern for you. It's like, Boy, and when you start to look at it like that, you start to realize how much flesh emotions are governing, and you don't want to admit it. But you know what? Really? I need to know this about me. Wherever the flesh emotions are governing any of my actions, guys, it's got to be dealt with. And there's only one way to deal with it. I've got to go before that throne of grace and stay in His presence and experience the change. That's the only way that I can conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing for all of us. So there's a better, no matter how balanced you feel right now, trust me, there's better. And it's a good better, hallelujah. So praise God that not only are we born again, but contained in that born again life that He has given to us are all of God's emotions that can be released and govern our lives.